myself away. I give myself away so you can use me, myself. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ozell, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How you doing? Good. You look good. Some of you look scared. God is good. We thank him for blessing us to be here this morning, whether you are a guest, a visitor, whether you are a member, whether you're watching by live stream, social media, wherever you are, welcome to the worship services of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ in Houston, Texas. I say in Houston, Texas, you have to say that because we have literally people from all over the world worshiping with us this morning. And some of us, I don't know if we recognize that. Some of you that have not been with us for a while, we have just kind of gotten back into our building this last month. It just feels good. Amen. Feels good to be able to sit in these chairs and look at each other and touch each other. You know, we want to hug each other tight, but not too tight yet, right? But God is good, and it's good to see you. And those of you watching that's kind of on the fence and still trying to be careful about coming back together, know that our leaders are doing everything they can to keep us safe. We're trying to even put a filtration system in our building, and so we don't want you to stay away too long. Amen. 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 If you have medical reasons, that's okay. But we want to, when we come back together, we want everybody to come back together. That can't come back together. Amen. I want to dive right in my lesson this morning. It's a very sensitive lesson. I've entitled it Voices. Voices. And so you pray with me this morning. If you have, everybody needs to hear this, but especially if you have a young person, a teenager, somebody over the age of 10, if they're not up, get them up. If you're at home, get your children up and sit them in front of the computer screen, the television screen, and allow them to hear the word of God this morning. Amen. Not just because I'm giving it. It's just something on my heart. The ultimate destination of our lives is really determined by who we listen to and who we obey. Because all of us are listening to somebody. I mean, we listen to somebody. Many of us are independent, and that's good. It can be good, but it can also be bad. Because if we're not listening to somebody, but I don't listen to nobody, well, you're listening to yourself. And that can be even more deceptive. Listen to these voices in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Genesis 3, 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. With hard labor you shall eat from it all the days of your life. Now, it's not always bad to listen to your wife. But this got Adam in deep trouble. It wasn't so much that he was listening to his wife. It's just that he wasn't listening to who? Okay. All right. Listen to this one in Genesis 22:18. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Anybody want to be blessed in here? Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, I want all the blessings I can get. We got enough trouble in this world, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Listen to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus 15, 26. And he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and listen to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on which I put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. This is Old Testament. But did you not know that us not listening to the voice of God can cause harm to us? Notice this, by God. God can cause harm to his people if we don't listen to him. And has done it in the past. And he's the same God, isn't he? Amen. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. Listen to John chapter 18, verse 37. John 18, 37. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king, Jesus answered. You say correctly that I am a king. For this purpose I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. That's God's voice. And you know, there are many voices speaking to us today. Many voices. They're bombarding social media outlets, occupying political offices, producing big screen movie series and sitcoms, purchasing primetime advertising space, recruiting stars and megastars and entertainers, and are making the strongest of demands on our lives, influencing our children, taking over the television set. And as a preacher of the gospel of Christ, I want to make sure there's another voice that's heard, loud and clear, a voice that's slowly being muzzled even to a hush, limited now only to the confines of sacred sanctuaries like what this building has been dedicated to, or to limited to the homes of the brave who are brave enough to teach their families what thus said the Lord. And that is the voice of God. And Bergier, how do you know it's the voice of God? Because it's the tried and true, time-tested word of God. Prophetic fulfilled prophecies that confirm the word of God. Archaeological evidence, tangible, real evidence that can be seen and confirmed by the word of God. The consistent, numerous thousands of manuscripts that are so consistent and do not compare to any other document. Yes, it's the word of God. And I know some people don't want to hear the word of God. I know some people resist it and some people reject it, but that's what I'm speaking today, is the word of God. And I hope there are ears to hear what God has to say. I mean that, because that's all I have to stand on. You surely don't want to hear my feeble opinion, my feeble advice. Many have challenged the Bible throughout the years, but it's lasted, haven't it? And there are many people who hold to it. I know that, from those that are saints, those that are believers, we're not looking for this morning. We're not looking for aggressive amens. I know amen means so be it. It means you agree with what's being said. I know many of you may agree with what's being said after this point, but some of you may not. And so we're not looking for aggressive amens, because only reason why I say that is because I don't want to turn off the ears of somebody who needs to hear this. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we go, well, yeah, get them, go, yeah, tell the truth. We won't tell the truth. But we don't want to run nobody off. Amen. Especially before they listen. So I'm not looking for God. You can amen, but don't amen too hard, okay? And they're non-solicited, because this message is delivered in all the love. I know some of you think, bro, what you about to say? It's delivered in all the love and sensitivity I have. It's been on my heart for a long time as a preacher of the gospel, because of what's being seen and what's being said, and what's being said so loud and clear. And I'm not hearing the voice of God in situations, especially to our young people. Some of you may or may not know that this past month, the month of June, was Pride Month. And some of you don't know what it is. It might be good you don't, but you need to know. It is the LGBTQ. You've heard those initials. They stand for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer Pride Month. That's what the initials stand for. It's the month of June. I just did a little study on it. Every year in this month, it's to honor the 1969 Stonewall Uprising in Manhattan. And what they were protesting against is the abuse, the rampant abuse of those who profess to be gay. And I use the word gay, taking for granted you understand what we're talking about. The abuse, the physical abuse, the mental abuse, the denial of human rights. And they celebrate it each year. And it's been called in the past the Gay Liberation Movement in the United States. Today, celebrations include parades, pride parades, picnics, parties, workshops, symposiums, concerts. And these events literally today attract millions around the world. We've seen it in our own city, on our own streets. The streets are roped off. Memorials are held this month for those members of the community who've been lost to hate crimes and who've been lost to HIV and AIDS. And the purpose simply is to recognize the impact that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals have had on history, locally, nationally, and internationally. And many in the gay community have had a huge effect on our world, on our society, on our communities. And so we recognize what the month is all about. And let me say this to God's people also, to all of us, is God loves everybody. And with God, there is no partiality. Scripture attests to that. Every person in the world deserves to be treated with dignity, deserves to be treated fairly. And so I don't want you to take this in the wrong way. I don't want you to think that I'm some dogmatic preacher that don't, Brother Gary, you just don't, just because they're not like you. It's not about that at all. Because if God is love, and the scripture says we ought to be loved. And we're to love God because God first loved us. But by this shall all men know that we are his disciples by the love we have one for another. And some of us, you know what? We're going to obey the gospel. We're going to get baptized into the Lord's church. But you know what's going to keep us out of heaven? We don't love enough. We don't love people enough. And we're not talking about loving somebody just because they just like you. Yeah, we need to love everybody. And so I need to say that up front, because I don't want you to think that we're to love everybody. Listen to what the Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says. Make every effort. Don't get nervous on me. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's what the scripture says. He says, as much as it lies within us, we try to get along with everybody. Amen, somebody. Jesus modeled that. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. I've told you in the past before, my very next door neighbors are two gay men. Now, the two gay men, they were there for about maybe 4 or 5 years. They moved out, and two more gay men stay right next door to me. And I can say to this day, 2 plus 4, all four of them were the kindest men on our street, just as kind as anybody else. And you know what? I try my best to be cordial with them. My wife and I, we try to be cordial with them. They are cordial with us, so we have no problem with them. I just want you to hear that. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true that it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts it from every nation the one who fears him, notice, and does what is right. Lord, help us, Jesus. But I want to read to you from the Word of God, God's view of this lifestyle. I want to read to you, especially those of you that are young, because you live in the world that, you live in the world that that everything is acceptable. I mean, you know, you can't hardly tell what's right and what's wrong. You don't even know what the standard it is. And I say again, this is God's standard. Not, and see, some of us, we look into the wrong place for the standard. And, you know, especially parents, you got to understand with these kids. You growing up with this, and you seeing kids, I'm talking about in the second, third grade, a boy comes in the classroom. You don't know if he's a boy or a girl. And that's what they grow up with playing. And so they think everything is all right. And so I just want everybody to hear from the Word of God. And you take it like you want to take it, because we all have to answer to God for ourselves. But listen to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 18:22. This is Old Testament. Says this, I don't have time to read it all. You can read it all in your own hearing. But God has given the law to his people. And I skip down to verse number 22. He says, "You shall not sleep with a male as one sleeps with a female." It's like God, I'm going to make this clear as possible. And it's like God knows the tendency of our flesh. He knows the tendency of a man. Man can pervert anything because of our imaginations. And what, and he says, listen, let me tell you this. He says, now, you should not sleep. Now, he got it straight in the beginning. Because when he gave Adam Eve, he says, now, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He says, for this cause a man shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. Male and female, he created them. And so God is saying this: the female has a role, the male has a role. Now, the world don't set this standard. I'm setting this standard. And he goes on and he gives the law. He says, you should not. And he's not. Now, those of you that's real young, maybe you don't need to understand this. But he's not talking about sleeping, going to bed, sleeping in the bed. He says, you shall not sleep with a male as one sleeps with a female. He said, it is an abomination. The word abomination, it means it's sinful. It also means it's wicked. Young people understand this. God's law is that you don't have a, if you're a boy, you don't have a boyfriend. If you're a girl, you don't have a girlfriend. If you want to date, you date the opposite sex. That's God's law. From the Word of God. I don't want to preach it too hard, because I want you to just listen to this. Listen to what God, because I don't want our children to have any excuse about what God said. If you're going to do what you're going to do, it's going to be on your own. He goes on to say this. With the same breath, listen to this now. This is how serious this is. With the same breath, he says in verse 23, Also, you shall not have sexual intercourse with an animal to be defiled with it. Now, I know you shouldn't have a problem with that one. Now, I'm going to say this now. Now, most of us, we're in the city of Houston. We're not in the country. We don't have many animals around anyway. But did you not know? The scriptures say the heart is deceitfully wicked. I'm gonna tell you what else. Loneliness will do a lot of things to you. But understand what God is called. He says, look, in the same breath, he says, don't sleep a male, not sleep with a female, not sleep with a male, female, not sleep with a female. In the same breath, he says, and you don't sleep with animals. Now we got, if they're gonna go to the airwaves with this one. If we're going to hear a voice, it's God says he puts it in the same category. Somebody need to hear this. This is not under the cover. You know, something that we in the past don't talk about. We all need to hear this, because I would be very probably right if I say this is in all of our families. He says, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. He said, it is a perversion. Someone has perverted what was right in God's eyes. Someone has changed what the law is. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these, listen to this, for by all these things, the nations which I am driving out from you have become defiled. I know, we know what the world is doing. We know this message is going online. I promise you, before the week is out, I'm going to get some calls about this lesson. I'm going to get some emails about this lesson. That's why I prayed about it. I don't like a whole lot of conflict. I don't want nobody coming up here protesting us, but somebody needs to hear the word of God. Amen. Because, you know, it used to be a time you would see this every now and then on the every day, every minute, somebody is declaring rights. What about the rights of God's people? Why can't we say something? And you know, when I was studying, I said, Lord, I mean, this been going on a long time. All the nations just going on about their business, doing what they want to do, and God says, don't defile yourself. And then it says for in verse 25, for the land has become defiled, therefore I brought its punishment upon it, so the land has vomited out its inhabitants. But as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments, and you shall not do any of these abominations. That's what he says to God's people. That's in the Old Testament. Okay, I'll go to the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the brother read in your hearing a few moments ago, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. God loves everybody, but God gonna judge everybody also. I mean, you know, God loves it. I love all of my children. I love them to death. I love them. I would do anything for them. I tell you what, but they keep, a child can be so hard-headed, keep on doing wrong. What you gonna do? Just let them just... At some point, enough. Verse Romans 1:26, for this reason, listen to this. For this reason, what reason? Because these folk were denying God, knew God. He says, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged their natural relations for that which is contrary to nature. And likewise, the men too abandoned natural relations with women and burned in their desire toward one another, males with males committing shameful acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to depraved mind to do these things that are not proper. Especially, you know, some of us grown, we've heard this, but we skip by. That's just that old Bible, that stuff. And so I would hope you hear it, but especially for those that are young and struggling, those that see good people who are caught up in this, those their friends are caught up in. I'm not saying for you to just denounce them. I'm not saying for you to be derogatory. Treat them fairly. Treat them love. But you know what's right in God's eyesight. And you do what's right because they also need to be saved. I know some of us have had this idea, oh, but we don't have to have nothing to do with them folks. Just, leader, I don't want to be. I understand what you're saying, but we're living in the world. You work next to them. Now, bro, Gary, you mean we don't want them folk coming in into church. Why don't we want them to come to church? Don't they need to hear the gospel? Don't they need to hear this? What, they not going to hear this on CNN? Amen, somebody? Now we're not going to put up with nobody recruiting none of our kids. You know, outright recruiting somebody, hey, come over here with me. No, we not there. We need to, don't, no, don't do that. Don't do that. But anybody can come in here and worship God. If you knew what some of us used to do, you wouldn't want some of us in here. Amen, somebody. Brother, I'm telling you, brother came in here, this has been a while back, came in here, and he was worshiping us with us every single Sunday. I didn't know he was. You know, sometimes church is so big, you don't see everybody. This brother called me, I can't remember, but some months later, he said, Brooke, I surely enjoy worship service. He said, I just feel so isolated, so, He said, "But Gary, I've done so much wrong. I've done so." He said, "I've murdered." He told me this with his mouth. "I've murdered 5 people." And you were sitting right next to him. Didn't know. I do know this. He repented of his sins. That's all I know. And I know, I'm, thank God, I'm not God. And so I want you to understand, because see, we all are struggling with something if we'd admit it. Some of us, see, with God, there are no little sins and big sins. Well, he homosexual. Well, you're a liar. You cheat on your husband. You thought I was going to say he cheat on your wife, huh? Some of the brothers say, "Bro, Gary, you hard on these. You cheat on your husband. You can go to..." So don't get to start talking about, "Yeah, nah, we don't need to fool with them." Some of us get drunk too much. If I didn't go down your street, you know where your street is. Yeah, we all struggling with something. And somebody is struggling with this. But I want you to hear the God's word that you will keep. Don't you give in to Satan's devices. And I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to answer all the questions. Some people ask, "Well, why people? Why?" Some people say, "Well, I was born this way." But think about what you're saying when you say you were born this way. Because now I don't want to. I'm not trying to be a doctor, but you know, really think about it. When a baby is born, a baby don't know if it's a boy or a girl. You think, unless you got a real smart baby. What are you saying, Brother Gary? A baby has to be taught. Amen. See, what I believe has happened throughout the years is people, Job put it this way in Job 8:3, he said this. Does God, the word pervert means to distort. Does God pervert justice? Or does the Almighty pervert what is right? Church folk, people, whoever it is, listen. Is it that a person is born this way, or has someone perverted justice? Has someone taught what is wrong? Have someone neglected what is wrong? Have someone not corrected what is wrong? Has someone not guided the person in the right way? Has someone responded to a bad experience, a bad relationship? Has someone made the choice? I don't know all the answers. And I tell you what, this is a, you know, we live in a world of sin. Sin is the problem. Sin is the culprit. Sin has messed up so many minds. You know, you take a young lady, who beautiful young lady, and she started dating a man, young man, and this man just dog her out. Then she go in another relationship and somebody else just dog her, another man dog her. Then she get in another relationship and another man dog her. After a while, you just give up on man. Some of you, we've heard it. Some of you, listen, I'm telling you, I'm old enough now, I've heard it. Okay, I don't need no man. Man ain't nothing but dogs. And so they turn to another woman. Especially a woman that's suave and got a little money and start recruiting, and they just win them over 100% and treat them better than a man. And that's their reasons for being the way they are. And I Lord have mercy. But that's not God's reason. And you be careful. You know, they say same-sex marriage was first ratified, instituted, and the first state was the state of Massachusetts. And a brother sent me on this video of a couple of years ago of how in Massachusetts the adoption rate for same-sex couples is higher than male and female couples. They're adopting more children than male and female homes. But it's also said the domestic violence of same-sex marriage, domestic violence is higher. You say, well, I don't need a man. Well, you don't need a woman that's abusing you either. And so I'm not, that's not necessarily the answer to go to defy God's law to please our law. Galatians 1:6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you, notice this, and would pervert the gospel. See, folk have perverted the gospel. Folk have watered down the gospel that you can be saved sitting right in. All you got to do is receive God, Jesus. You don't have to be baptized. They don't say nothing about sin. And you got thousands, millions of folks who are walking around thinking that they are saved and they are lost. Amen. Why? Because someone has perverted, has distorted the gospel, has distorted what is right in God's eyesight. And I just hope and pray that we don't lose a whole nother generation to individuals, to children who believe everything they hear on the television, everything that they read on Snapchat and social media and TikTok. And they would believe the word of God. I want to end with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Did you hear that statement? Now the beautiful thing about it is this, that the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And so nobody can raise their hand, I'm glad. No, you're not right either. The key is, have you had your sins? See, that's why in churches of Christ, that's why in this church, when a person is baptized, we want to make sure they heard the gospel, the truth. Now, we don't know what the person has been taught wherever they were. And so we don't take it for granted. If you were in another faith, if you're going to be baptized into the church of Christ, we want you to obey the pure gospel of Jesus Christ in its simplicity. And most faiths don't teach the full gospel. You know, person can say they're saved, but we want to make in the book of Galatians, he says, I marvel that you're removed to another gospel. He says, there is not but one gospel. And somebody that obeyed the gospel because of something they heard, or they got baptized months later because they really didn't necessarily believe baptism had anything to do with it. Well, we teach that baptism has everything to do with it. Why? Because that's what the Bible teaches. And God says this, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Who are the unrighteous? The unrighteous are those that haven't had their sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Simple as that. None of us are perfect. That's why I'm going to stay in the church. Because I even now, every now and then, I slip and sin. Because one of y'all make me mad. Woo, Lord have mercy. Woo, I'm just teasing. Y'all don't make me that mad. No, I take that back. Lord, I don't want to lie. Just say do sometime. It says, listen to this. Do not be deceived. Don't be fooled. Oh, no, Brother Gary. Oh, you got all kinds of. I saw my favorite celebrity. They say. Whose voice you're listening to? Then he goes down this list. He says, neither the sexually immoral. King James translation might say fornicate. Fornication, the word pornea, it's the sexual. See, it's talking about immoral sex. You heard in the Old Testament says don't sleep with an animal. It's talking about that. It's talking about every sexual immoral act. And see, those of us that know the Bible, you know the Bible tells us where sex is moral. It says marriage is honorable in all. The bed is pure. The bed is undefiled in marriage. But then he goes on to say, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. See, you have like, sex is bad. God put sex. He did put it in us. Some doctors say that the sex urge is almost as strong as the urge to eat. And you don't have to amen it, but you can testify to that. Some of us can tell it, that when the sex urge hits you, that's why many people struggle with it. Amen. No, don't amen it. And some of us is old. We act like we have been old all the time. You heard me say it before. I'm going to say it again. We need to help our young people get married earlier. I'm going to say it again. They don't have no money. I tell you what, you need to help them. The truth is the truth. You talk about you can tell the kid don't have sex. Well, I tell you what, you better be getting them ready. Because you saying it not gonna stop it. And I'm getting too long. But some of us, you know, you think about it. I look back on the history of my parents and my grandpa. I say, Mama Aunt Todd was 14 when she got married. 15, 16. It wasn't unheard of. 17, 18 years old. My sister KB, how old were you when we got married? She was 21. I was 23, and that was too long. I'm just being real. See, some of us, we're not real about that. We want to, yeah, you shouldn't be thinking about that. You shouldn't be thinking, you good child. But see, listen. God knows us. If we do it his way, we're going to come out a whole lot better. Because see, some of us have been whoremongering. And so when you're whoremonger, you got babies everywhere. You got families broke up. You got all kind of this foolish. And God says to the young folk, I want to put it on your mind. Get yourself ready. Go to school. Get your degree. And get ready to find a mate. Because see, your best chance to find a mate is going to be when you're younger. When you get old, ain't many choices out there. Y'all get me off my topic. It says, nor idolatrous, nor adulterous. See, some of us got this thing of, see, all self-control is something. Just because you craving a male or female, we all have urges. And you have married folk who are craving somebody that's not their mate. Amen, somebody. And God says, you need to get control of yourself. And we need to fight, the Bible says, to resist the devil and he will flee. If you tell a woman no enough, she'll stop coming to you. And if we don't have this in our mind, we're not going to use it. He says this. He says, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. God makes it clear. Nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor those who habitually get drunk, nor verbal abusers, nor swindlers. He goes down the list and says, it's not just about, okay, you just got some against the LGBTQ community. That's not about that. This is about the voice of God that needs to be heard in this world. He says, you will inherit the kingdom of God. And then love this part right here. I'm going to end with this. In verse 11. Such were some of you. So that means that it is something that we can change. And it starts right here. You have to say in your mind, it's wrong. I need to fight this. And see, how you fight it? Pray. Get on your knees and pray. Run. Play tennis. talk to somebody, call somebody, go to fellowship, use your gifts and talents for ministry, for God's word, for the word of God. Stay in the word of God. Study the word of God. Come to Bible class. Don't miss worship service. Pray every day. Do what all of us have to do who are trying to control something that's trying to control our minds. Do what all of us have to do. All of us in the same boat. Fight it. With everything that you have. Such were some of you, such were, but you are washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of our God. That's my message today. And all the love we have is, let's listen to God's voice. His voice alone. It's going to make us better. It will. It's the best life. God wants the best life for us. And if you're here today and you're struggling, we're going to pray for all the whole church. You know what? If you're here, you need, we're going to, the elders, when you come, don't even come up here. Because I don't want somebody saying, oh, she gay, he gay. Ooh, Lord, help us, Jesus. Help us, help us, help us in our unbelief. So I don't even want you to come up here. If you got a prayer request, type it in. If you're watching right now, type it in on our Facebook, YouTube page. If you got a prayer request, we have some cards that are passed out. You can write it on. If you need somebody to talk to, let me say this also. If you say, people stigmatize. I know what people do. We know what people do. But you hearing this from the leadership, from me to our elders. I know all of our elders stand behind. If there's enough people, and if you got an issue, you need some extra help, call one of the elders. I tell you, I wish one of the elders would talk, tell your business. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do it. I'm not going to talk your business to anybody. If we need to start a support group, this church is heavy. If we need to start a support group, that's going too far. No, it's not. We got support groups for everything else. But we're going to keep it pure. We're going to keep the word in it. We're going to hold each other accountable. But if you want to do what's right, that's what God's for. We're family. But if there's somebody in here that needs to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we want you to come. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, Luke 13:3-5. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, we want you to come and be baptized into Jesus Christ. We got room. You see, we got room for many more. And so if you stand in need of the invitation in any way, would you come right now as we sing?
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You restore. Sing that again. Say, oh.